Simon Tov Kuf Chav Gimel, gentlemen. Simon Tov Kuf Chav Gimel. Dinim Anoegim Behemoth Beyom Tev. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Oh, very good. Oh, there's a big crowd today on Zoom. Right. Okay, yeah. Okay, Jonathan, you'll have the mic soon. Let's just get there. We're up to Simon Tov Kuf Chav Base. Are you seeing me okay?
No,
sideways. Oh, let me sort this out. Like, this is good?
Yeah, you're good now.
Oh, good now. Okay. Okay, Simon Tov, Kuf, Chav, Beis, we're up to see Beis. We discussed yesterday the stick, and today we're going to be talking about the chair. Hanyoitzim Bekise, you may, the person who requires assistance in his walking may not go out with a kise, with a chair. Now, that's probably pretty much the equivalent of a
wheelchair.
That's right. Echad Ish, whether it's a man, Echad Ish, whether it's a woman. So this is a. So it's not. So what the Mishnah explains in Seif Katan Dalet is Enyotzimik second line. Enyotzimik is it. Do not go out with a chair. So Darkom, the ways was Loitzis and Nichbot, a particularly respectful and important man, would go out Bekise on a chair. Shuyoyshev that he would be sitting Bekasedro v'Achirim. You know, sinis a Kasedro al Seifom K'deishu Yichaku Anoshim, would be kind of chair. A more mobile kind of chair, and people would step him around if he's a respectful kind of person, a VIP, and kidei in order shelo yichaku anoshim, people shouldn't push him, or kidei shelo yitan for God of alternatively that his clothes shouldn't get dirty and soiled. So this was the ways. So it wasn't much like a wheelchair, because wheelchair obviously is for other reasons, but the idea is that people would carry chairs and VIPs would be sitting on it. Because was for a poiskim, the dafke bekise also. Now the problem with this is specifically with regards to a chair. Mishum the uf the chol, because it's uf the chol. And here's the issue. This is not related to the issa of carrying on Yom Tov. Rather, because carrying we spoke about is generally okay. Here, this is an extra additional ism, which is don't do something particularly weekdayish to schlep around people, you know, the more VIPs, it's a bit weekdayish, it's a bit like it's not Shabbastic to have people on chairs schlepping them around, therefore, you can't do that. However, the exception is. If it's a particularly important person that people need him, the public needs him, muta, it's permitted, and you're allowed to take him so you can take him out if it's a particularly important person. Not only you can take him out on a chair, but even if it's got a canopy on top of him. Fancy that? So he's allowed to go out like this. Here again, the problem is, but if it's a rabbim tzrichim loy, so the example given in Mishnah was if cotton hay is. If it's a person who gives a drosha to the public, he's an important man, he's a rabbi, he's a magid shir, people need him, will be permitted to schlep him around on a chair. Otherwise, it's over to the choil. I struggled with this concept a little bit. Why do I struggle with this?
Is it on the basis that he can't walk?
No. Nope. He's perfectly able. He's perfectly able. But it doesn't want his clothes to get soiled. And he doesn't want people to push him. So people have offered to schlep him around on a chair.
For covered?
Yeah, for covered. Or for clothing, not getting dirty. These are the two examples given.
I find that hard, because if he can walk normally, and you said like with a blind man with a stick...
Yeah.
I
agree with you. I don't understand why it's Zilusa Yom Tov. Why is it not covered? Not Shabbastic. It's not Shabbastic on a general case. But if people need him, then it is Shabbastic. It's a bit strange. I don't exactly understand it. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And with this, we go to Seif Gimel. Mission is Kaftsu. Cholila, if somebody is. Gidei Shoik, Shulchan Aruch says. Mission is Kaftsu. Perish Shenis Mesuvnasu Ktsorim. He's Nebuch Gidei Shoikov, Yocholot is B'makel. Nebuch, if a person is allowed to go out with a cane, if his part of his his legs are shorter and he's not really able to walk normally, so he's allowed to go on a cane. This is for medical purpose, as opposed to the previous cases. This is simply somebody that's his legs, his feet have, as the Shulchan Aruch says, nitzmesu, they've shrunk, nasuk tzorim, they're shorter. He needs support by means of a cane. That's permitted.
What's the difference in that then and a blind man with his cane?
They're identical in a way.
Medical reasons?
No, so the point is that if you need it, you're allowed it. Person doesn't need it, he's not allowed it. So really, in many ways, it's the same. Now the Sivdala teaches us in manigim behema b'makel. If you've got an animal, you may not lead the animal with a stick. If you've got your cow, you only lead your cow into the or your horse into the shed. The chickens, don't use a stick. Leave that for the kids. Why are you not allowed to use a stick for the animals? Yeah.
That's how you do things.
On weekdays, absolutely, yeah. That's what Mishnah Berurah says if cotton tests. In Manigim Behema Makel, afilu ha-zamnei la-makel me'esmo lekach, even if you kept the stick there yesterday, it makes no difference. Shuv les mishnah mukzah, it's not even mukzah. Stick is not mukzah, but also it's prohibited. The mechzik command also le-shuk le-mocha, because it looks like you're going to go to the market now. It's the kind of sticks that are used when you're going to the cattle market and when you're selling your animals. So don't use your stick. Don't use your stick. Simatov Kuf Chof Gimel, we are moving on. Tinan Nugin Behemoth Beyomtev, additional alochas with regards to your animals on Yomtev. Masirin Zvuvin, Hanitlin Behemoth. What happens if there's fleas stuck hanging onto your animal? You're allowed to take them off. Have you ever done that? Fleas or ticks, what?
Flies or fleas?
I think in this concept, I think it's fleas. I know you're Zvuvin literally. You're right, it means flies. I think over here in this context, it's going to be fleas. Hanitlim babayim, they're hanging onto the animal. You're making an injury. You may pick off the fleas or flies or ticks which are attached and sucking the blood. Excuse my, the blood. You're allowed to take them off, although you are inevitably causing an injury. We know causing an injury on Yom Tov is no good. But in this context, you're allowed. Yes.
So the word from last time was cascade.
Cascade, that's it. Thank you, yes. Yes, it's cascading. We should do that. We have to do Chazal. We have to go back to Simon Tov Kuf Chof Beis just to use that word.
Who are you causing the injury to?
Pardon?
Who's the injury being caused to?
Daisy the cow.
So you're taking the.
You are taking the flies off.
And who are you injuring?
I suppose the cow.
I thought you killed the insect.
Oh no, I don't think we particularly care about the insect. I think we're causing injury to the animal. That's how I learned.
You're preventing him injury.
No, I think it's zvuv nitlim bavemo. These fleas are stuck already onto the animal.
Sucking the blood.
They're busy already. Yeah.
So they got their claws in.
Yeah.
Pulling
yeah, you're causing a chabura. It's so going to be bleeding. Interesting. I heard once. It's fascinating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's unbelievable. Apparently, the fleas and the flies and the mosquitoes and the way it works is that it's so thin that you don't notice when they actually, it's once they go out, that's when you actually feel it. It's the penetration, which is not, it cannot be felt. Penetration cannot be felt. It's only when it goes out that it's like hooked on a little bit, and that's what actually causes the pain or the injury. There's no injury happening as it goes in because it's so thin and it's in the way it's shaped. Correct. So why are you saying that? Yeah, but the injury is, but you are causing an injury by pulling it out. Is that true or not? I think that's what Chonoch is telling us. No, when you're pulling out, you're causing an injury. Let's learn like you're saying. What are you suggesting? You're suggesting that we're talking about the interesting thought that we're causing an injury to the flea. It's an interesting thought. It didn't occur to me that's what it could be pshat. What are you saying? That seeing zvuv in nitlim beveima, afal pishen ois nechabura. Yeah.
Could you say that because the fleas are already in the animal, it's like the wound is already there, but now you pull the flea out, now the wound is realized. But already the wound is there, but it's already in.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. So you've got an Aleph. Masirin Zvuvim, Roi Tzeloima, Biyad. You can add those with your hand, if you fancy. So with a wooden kind of comb. They're not called combs. The wooden ones. What are they called? You know the ones that you use for anim. Okay, it is equivalent to a wooden comb. It's not sure that you will be pulling off hair by doing that. If it's made out of metal, then it's a problem. Because then you're for sure certainly going to pull out hair, and that's going to be also. You don't have to pull out hair of an animal on Yom Tov. So if it's inevitable, it's going to be called a psigeisha. That's going to be also. If it's a wooden one, they tend to not pull out the hair so much, and that's why it's going to be okay. But either way, that's what you got. But either way, if you want to use it with regards to the animal, I think the pulling out the animal, I think that's what's caused the injury. Okay, see base. Oh, very good. Very interesting. So yes, it's black and white. Rabbi Feingold points out, it says black on white. It says that is a tzar balechaim element for Daisy the cow.
Is it the
behalo? Yes, it is.
Because the zvuvim are on the cows, what do you have to do? You have to hit the zvuvim and cause them the...
You think that's pshat? I've never seen the aspect of tzar balechaim when it comes to insects. Must be honest with you.
Grammar.
Never seen it.
That's
done. Yeah, chabur. That's right. That's what we're referring to. Really, causing chabur, causing a wound, is really also. But like you're saying, making a wound is also. But over here, since there's an element of tzar bal chaim, as Rabbi Feingold points out, so therefore you're allowed to cause that injury. So therefore, you're allowed to protect the cow.
Yes, it's attacking, it's damaging your cow.
It's not equivalent, but I hear the comparison.
Yeah.
Okay, we carry on. I mean, go in behibo b'magredes b'yomtev shemasheres seyo. Yeah, as you mentioned a minute ago, you are not allowed to comb the animal. You want your horse to look particularly Shabbos steak. And you're combing, you know. So you have to make sure that you comb with the appropriate comb. Because if you're using a metal one, you're going to pull off hair, which is also. If you're using a wooden one, you're less likely to pull off hair. And that's why it's permitted. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Siv Gimel teaches us. You're not allowed to, what's the right word? Mialdin. It's like to midwife, basically.
To nurse.
Is that what it is? To nurse an animal which is giving birth to its baby. You ain't mialdin behema b'yomtev. You're not allowed to physically take out the baby from, you know, to pull it out, as midwives tend to do. You ain't mialdin behema b'yomtev avol. But what you are allowed to do, mesadin ois, you're allowed to support it. You're allowed to hold the baby calf, or whatever it is. You're allowed to hold it, that it's not going to fall flat on the ground as it is born. So you're allowed to protect it from, you're allowed to support it, you're allowed to protect it, you're allowed to hold it, but you're not allowed to physically take it out. The action of taking out, that's mialdin, that's also protecting it, holding it, that's permitted. Similarly also, you're allowed to blow the nose, the nostrils of the animal. Fancy doing that? No. If it's got difficulty breathing, you're allowed to, you're also allowed to give the odor to the mouth of the newborn to encourage him to drink from his mother. So that's what you have to do. So the physical action of midwifery is also, but encouraging from drinking from his mother is fine. Blowing the nostril is fine, and the and holding it is fine as well.
What if you deliver a baby?
What if you?
My
That's the Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Katan Hey, second wide line in Miyaldin Dainu Limshoy Chavlad to pull it out minarechem from the womb. Teik tich is seira because it's a great tircha. It's a big deal. It needs a lot of physical action and it's a tircha is seira. Remember, it's going to make it. It's going to survive without your support. Animals are well, you know, animals in nature, they can do it on their own. You want to make it, you want to give that cow that extra support, that TLC, well, it's going to have to manage with that. It's a tircha is seira, it's a lot, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. By? No, no. Humans are different. So by goyim, you have to goyim on. Yeah. So absolutely yes. There is definitely an element of generally when it comes to medical needs. So we are much more makel for goyim because we don't want to have a differentiation, substantial differentiation between yidden and goyim. And if you don't, you know, if you're going to help the Eden and you're not going to help the Goyim, watch what's going to happen, kind of, you know, it's better not. So that's what generally we're making. It's a shame if you're allowed to put yourself in, you're allowed to become a midwife, you're allowed to take a you know, Shabbos slots and stuff like that. But in principle, there's an element of Emor. Okay, we're going to do Sif Dalet on Sunday with Shem because now we're going to have the privilege of hearing some words by Jonathan. Are we on?
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Very much so. We can all hear you, yeah.
Okay. All right, I thought I'd speak about... Sorry? Okay. I'd speak about topical issue of Halakha's steward to Philip Sibor, the importance of davening with a minion. This is connected with this week's parsha of Ayera.
Very good.
So, the mitzvah of davening with a minion... is rabbinic in nature, but it does have a biblical source. So in the Parsha, when Avraham speaks to Hashem about saving Sodom in the merit of the Tzaddikim who lived there, you see he pleads, if there's 50 people, will he destroy it? If there's 45, if there's 40, if there's 30, 20, down to 10. And every time Hashem says he'll save the city in light of the righteous people. He stops pleading below 10. So when he realizes there's fewer people than 10, he doesn't say anything else. So this, says the Ibn Ezra, is because the fewest number of people that constitute a sibor is 10. So it follows that tefillah, daily prayer services, should be conducted with a sibor, so that the benefits of davening with a minyan can be realized. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch rule that all men should make every effort to daven or to fill us with a minion, because tefillah sibur is much more than a preferred course of action, it is a rabbinic obligation. So despite the importance of tefillah sibur, there are a number of cases where that's secondary to other halakhas or situations, which I just wanted to mention some of the other situations that take precedence. So one is eating. So someone that, so it's forbidden to eat before davening. A weak person who needs to eat before davening, he should daven at home early, and then he should eat, and then he should go to shul to ask the Kaddish and Kedusha. That's according to the Bir Halacha. Another issue is to do with monetary loss. So if tefillah b'sibur would cause monetary loss, you'd be allowed to daven alone. So if it was merely causing you to earn less profit in your work, then you wouldn't be allowed to skip tefillah b'sibur according to the Bir Halacha. But if it actually resulted in a deduction from your salary by being late for work, then you would be allowed to forego tefillah b'sibur because of that would be considered monetary loss according to Rav Eliashiv. However, we shouldn't underestimate the importance of tefillah b'sibur. It says, Nigros Moshe says that it's forbidden for a scholar to learn late at night if it will cause him to miss tefillah b'sibur the next morning. And even if you can concentrate better at home, you're still required to daven with a minyan as long as you can concentrate sufficiently to understand the simple translation of the words in shuls. So that's another thing to consider. Another issue is to do with tefillin. So wearing tefillin for Shema and Shemone Esrei is considered, that would take precedence over davening with a minyan, according to the Mishnah Berurah. And another factor is to do with davening kavasikim, so davening with nates. So someone who's particular to daven with nates on a regular basis, they would be allowed to daven at home alone without a minyan if they can't find one, according to Bir Halacha. And even if someone doesn't daven daily with nates, but they're particular to daven with nates at specific times, such as Erev Rosh Chodesh, so they would be allowed on those specific days to daven without a minyan, according to Rav Elbach. Another issue is to do with kavana with davening. So one who needs to leave for work at a certain time, and he has a choice, he could daven with a slow minyan and leave before the end of davening, or he could daven with a quick minyan, but it would be difficult for him to daven properly. So the Harav Obach rules that you should daven with a slower minyan, even if it means that you will miss Kriyas Torah on Mondays and Thursdays. Interestingly, the Minchas Yitzhak says that Kriyas Torah takes precedence over Tefillah B'Sibul. And another factor, one final factor to consider, is to do with distance from the minyan. So if the closest minyan is an 80-minute walk or more, then you would be exempt from davening B'Sibul, according to the Mishnah Berurah. But if you have a car and you use it regularly, then you would also be expected to travel by car up to 18 minutes each way. But if you don't use your car on a regular basis just for emergencies, then you wouldn't be obligated to drive for a minyan, according to Harav Eliashiv. So those were some of the factors I just wanted to mention. Obviously, today, with lockdown starting and the government have ruled against communal services and places of worship.
Nothing changes.
So some authorities have obviously agreed to stop minyanim, such as the US and the Federation back then. That's to do. Their concern is basically for pekor nefesh and the risk of chilul Hashem if people are seen not following the rules of the government. But hopefully this lockdown will end soon and the restrictions will be lifted, so Tefillah B'Sibul can be resumed for everyone. And hopefully my timetable won't be virtual for too long.
Shkayach, thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you very, very much. Have a very good evening and a very good Shabbos. Thank you, very interesting halachas. Shkayach.
Good Shabbos, good evening, Shkayach.
Thank you.